Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to the Chemist's Corner podcast for Wednesday, January 5th, 2011. Welcome to Chemist Corner. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, a cosmetic chemist, professional blogger, and crowd seeker. Chemist Corner is a podcast about cosmetic science and is broadcast to help educate, entertain, and inspire current and future cosmetic chemists. The information and opinions discussed on Chemist Corner are those of the hosts and the guest alone. They do not necessarily reflect those of any past, present, or future employers. Well, after a brief hiatus, the show is back. I was away for the holidays, of course, and as many of you probably were too. In fact, I've made it a goal to record at least 30 shows this year, so that'll be a little challenge for me, especially with all the traveling I've got coming up. You'll see in the coming months I've got a trip to China and another trip to Europe, so it should be lots of fun. Oh, the life of a cosmetic chemist. On today's show, we have an interview with Mark Richards from Allura Lab. He is the CEO of a company that helps chemists and other people create their own cosmetic brands. But before we get to the interview, let's look at some cosmetic science news and some tips on product development. One of the biggest stories recently in the news about cosmetics is that the European Safety Committee came out and said that parabens are safe to use in cosmetics. Now, this was some big news out in Europe. The Scientific Committee of Consumer Safety, the SCCS, which is the main regulatory body of the EU, has released its opinion that parabens are safe to use as cosmetic preservatives. They also indicated that the levels of some of the compounds should be reduced. If you don't know, parabens are one of the most widely used preservatives in cosmetics. They have been recently the subject of attacks by consumer and chemical fear-mongering groups who claim that parabens have a disruptive effect on hormone systems. This was based on a study which showed that parabens were found in tumors in breast tissue cancer, and it caused quite a stir a few years ago, but upon further reflection, the science has not borne out the conclusions made by that initial author. The SCCS recently examined the data on butyl and propyl parabens and found that there was insufficient data to characterize the effects on hormonal systems. So they opted for a conservative use level of 0.19%, which is slightly lower than the 0.4% level that was previously suggested. The new guidelines actually reflect what manufacturers are already using, so from an industry standpoint, this doesn't represent much of a change. What it does represent is that an independent scientific body, the SCCS, is telling industry that parabens are safe to use as preservatives. They also confirm that manufacturers can continue to use methylparaben and ethylparaben at levels of 0.4 and 0.8%. Now, not all the parabens that they looked at were judged positively, and the SCCS said there wasn't enough data to say that isopropyl, isobutyl, or phenylparabens were safe to use. Of course, manufacturers don't use these ingredients, so this isn't much of a problem. This story is good news for formulators. Now you'll have some support to continue to use a class of preservatives that have been used safely for decades. Of course, this will not likely stop people from raising paraben concerns, nor will it stop the all-natural folks from touting the dangers of parabens. To some people, it is impossible to ever prove that a synthetic ingredient is safe. I don't really understand this position, but if you begin with a belief, then I suppose it's easy to find information that supports that belief and reject anything that might challenge the belief. To the people who are afraid of parabens, despite the evidence, I ask them, why should they use cosmetics at all? If people are really afraid of getting sick from their cosmetics, there is no good reason to use them. They're not a requirement for a healthy life. Of course, fortunately for cosmetic chemists, many people think they are a requirement for a happy life, and so that keeps us employed. In this section, we're going to go over the six steps to create a cosmetic formula. Formulating is one of the most enjoyable aspects of being a cosmetic chemist. This is when you get to blend all the cosmetic science you've learned with your creative inspirations. It's how you make your mark as a formulation chemist. Formulating products really is a six-step process, and this will help you. Following these six steps will help you convert your idea into a functioning product. So step one, define your product. Before you get started, you need to think about what you are going to make. Figure out what functions you want your product to achieve. Is it a cleansing product, a moisturizing product, coloring, etc.? Also think about the aesthetics, like color, the thickness, the clarity, the feel, even the product form. You should write these down, and so you'll know when you're done whether you've been successful. If you don't have a target at the end, you're not going to know whether you're successful. Step two, find a starting formula. To find a starting formula, you can go to a variety of sources. You can look online at formularies like Happy.com and Chemidex.com. They have formularies. Raw material suppliers such as Croda or Rhodia, they also have formularies online that you can use. And of course, you can look at the cosmetic science books that I'll link to in this. But these include things like The Chemistry and Manufacture of Cosmetics by Allured, Harry's Cosmeticology, and then the other standard is The Handbook of Cosmetic Science and Technology. Another useful source is patents. You can also use Google Patents or the USPTO.gov website. And of course, you can always ask some of your colleagues to see what their starting formulas are. And if you work at a big company, there's going to be an archive of old formulas that will provide a great starting basis. Now, once you've got your starting formula, you got to go to step three, which is to prepare your batches. First, you want to figure out how much you want to make and use a spreadsheet to create the ingredient list and the percentages of the formulas. Then, of course, go get your raw materials and then start making your batches. It's great if you make the batch yourself first. Don't put this work off on a technician, so you get the complete experience of working with the raw materials and you get a good sense of what could go wrong in the formula. Step four is making your batch. And making a batch is like cooking. You weigh out the ingredients, you mix them together in some specific way, and you heat and cool the batch. During this entire process, make sure you write detailed notes and observations in your lab notebook. These will come in handy when you need to make refinements in the future. And step five, you're going to test your batches. Once you finish your formula, you want to test it to see how well it matches what your idea of the product. After letting the sample equilibrate at room temperature, take the specification measurements like pH and viscosity to make sure that everything's okay. Also, you might want to just weigh the batch and replace some of the water weight that you lost during the heating and cooling process. Now, at the very least, you're going to want to try the product out on yourself just to see if it meets your requirements. And then in step six, you just revise your formula and repeat. So based on what you found from testing your original prototype, you can make adjustments to your formula percentage levels and try different things out and continue this iterative process until you get a formula that achieves what you're trying to achieve. Cosmetic formulating is as much an art as it is a science. As you gain more experience, you'll find ingredients that you like to work with and then others you might like to avoid. You'll develop your own style and ideally make products and formulations that are genuinely unique to you. I always like to add a signature in my formulas by using some ingredient at a percent that included the number 44. Why 44? I don't know. 44 is just my favorite number. It didn't usually have much effect on a formula, but it did make me feel like the formula was my creation. So if you look at a formula at my old company and you see a 0.44 in one of the percentages, odds are pretty good that I had something to do with it. Well, that's all I have for the six steps for creating your own formula, and I wish you good luck in your formulating career. Mark Richards is an entrepreneur who has started multiple successful companies. He is currently the CEO of Allura Lab, which helps create and manufacture custom formulated cosmetic and personal care products. He is also the owner of Polyclean USA and the Richards Group. He specializes in creating blank sheet of paper concept, new product development, and of course, ideation. So let's just get started with how you got started with Allura Labs.
Well, it's I'm an entrepreneur, founded my first company in 1990. It was a manufacturing company, primarily for shipping hazardous materials. That kind of grew into another company to ship plastic resins all over the world. It grew into another company that manufactured product for shipping animal skins, cow hides all over the world. Mm-hmm. And this has grown into a multitude of companies. So I guess I'm a multipreneur, would be the way. If you had to categorize me or label me, it'd be multipreneur or serial entrepreneur. And had a lot of success with those businesses, sold a few. Some just kind of went away on their own. The market conditions deteriorated to such a point where they were no longer viable. Some of them didn't do well at all, cratered. So you have some mm-hmm. great successes and some craters. But I'm always coming up with ideas, kind of an inventor on the side. And about a year ago, I had an idea for a shampoo product. And I won't go into what it was all about, but basically it was a way to get surfactants, the detergents in the shampoo, to work better. And I went to some of the contract manufacturers, some of the well-known ones in the country, and was really disappointed in the process. And specifically what I was disappointed in was the high minimums. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking 5,000 to 7,500 units per formula, essentially. And this was a multi-formula type of product that I had in mind.
Yes, it can be quite expensive to develop your own ideas and products.
Another manufacturer told me if I didn't have $50,000 to devote to it, don't even bother starting.
Wow.
And so anyhow, I shelved the project. I've got plenty going on in my life. I have another viable company that's doing quite well. But still, I'm not running it day to day. I have a partner that is. And so back in August, I kind of dug through the file, and this idea I had a year and a half ago popped up. And so I started looking at what it would entail for me to do it myself. So I was now becoming one of the entrepreneurs, cosmetic entrepreneurs, that's creating something in their own kitchen, packing it in their living room, et cetera, et cetera. And started getting into the chemistry and realized I was in over my head. Even mm-hmm. though shampoos are fairly simple from a cosmetic chemistry standpoint, what I was trying to do was a little out there beyond what the scope of what was normally done.
Right.
And so that's when I reached out to the Southeastern Cosmetics Scientist Organization. Is basically a trade group of folks. You're probably a member of one of them somewhere, Perry.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Society of Cosmetic Chemists.
That's it, Society of Cosmetic Chemists. And
yes.
So I had sent an email to the president of the one in the Southeast and said, hey, I'm looking for a consultant to help me out. And in the process of doing that, I found a local cosmetic chemist who had worked for a contract manufacturer, invited him to my house for a conversation about what I had in mind. Mm-hmm. He had some really great ideas that I hadn't even considered, which I think is what a good cosmetic chemist can bring to the table for anyone. And we started outlining how we would go about manufacturing the shampoo product. And I was still deciding to do it in-house because, again, I was looking for very low minimums, mm-hmm. 300 or 400 units per formula, per batch type of thing. And he started telling me a little bit about the manufacturing, the private label manufacturing side of it. That's yeah. where he had some background. And I became fascinated with it and for two reasons. One, I saw some huge opportunities in the industry. And two, I saw some clumsiness in the way this batch mentality has gotten to mm-hmm. where it makes it impossible for cosmetic entrepreneur that may not have deep pockets to get started. And so I think a lot of great ideas are not making it to the market because of this high barrier to entry just based on cost and this mindset that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, the mindset being high minimums.
Absolutely. So if a cosmetic chemist wanted to start their own line, would they use a company like yours?
I think in some cases they would. What we do is we can do a couple of things for the budding cosmetic chemist. If somebody has an idea for a product and wants to be primarily the marketing face, the marketing force, the visionary behind the product line, they might find it a little intimidating and not really worth their time to actually do the physical manifestation of their idea, the chemistry, the batch production, all the work that needs to go into actually bringing the product to fruition. So they may want to be the vision behind it. And if they have a little bit of a budget, we can help them. It's still, you know, you're still looking at $3,000 to $5,000 costs. Mm-hmm. Even working with somebody like us who's willing to take on small projects, but that's still a hurdle. The other person is going to be someone who says they want to do it themselves. And so they go out and they source the raw materials. They go online, they find one of hundreds of formulas to work with. They find raw materials they like. They can go and find organic materials. They can find the EcoCert materials. There's several hobbyist sites out there, which I'm sure you point people to get materials. And they get started making something, and they create something unique. And where we can help them out is we offer a couple of free services. We offer free stability and compatibility testing for the hobbyists. Mm-hmm. And this is where we help them make sure their emulsifications are going to survive being in the package for a period of time, or make sure there's not going to be any compatibility issues with their materials and the packaging, or the packaging and their materials. And, you know, we're basically here to help them kind of grow. And the reason for that is quite simple. If somebody has a great idea and they start producing it themselves, at some point they're going to outgrow their ability to do it themselves. And when they do, we want to be the go-to people for them to come to with what they're doing, and us to help them kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah. So ultimately, your company is a contract manufacturer?
Absolutely. So we do the lab work. We have all our formulation we do on in-house, and we do the manufacturing here as well.
Mm-hmm. And but you have lower minimums than that you had found around the industry?
Absolutely. You know, it's somewhat dependent on a couple of things. But, yeah, our minimums could go as low as 200 units. Mm-hmm. And it's a larger bottle size. That's not half-ounce fills, but I'm in the 8-ounce to 12-ounce range. We could do as little as 200. Part of what causes the problem and the understanding of why minimums occur is because sometimes the raw materials, specifically for exotic active ingredients, the minimums for those materials can be quite high. They can be quite high in relation to the percentage they actually are in the formula. And so that's where and those materials have to be paid for somehow, particularly if they're an obscure material, obscure ingredient that isn't used in an everyday product. We have to cover the cost of that. And that can run the minimums up a little bit. But for a basic product like a shampoo or a conditioner or a basic skincare line, absolutely, we do the lower minimums. And a lot of times we'll do it just because we think the idea is awesome and we want to work with the entrepreneur to get it going.
Yeah. Why don't you tell me about your labs there? You have cosmetic chemists working for you?
Yeah. So the cosmetic chemists that I actually invited to my house back earlier this year, I ended up hiring him as part of this project and decided to go into contract manufacturing and grow this business from scratch. And he's been a godsend. He's got about 20 years of chemistry background, mostly in pharmaceutical compounding and more recently in cosmetic chemistry. But he's very, very good about creating some amazing things. And I've just been, you know, amazed at what we're doing in-house. And so right at the time, we only have the one chemist. Mm-hmm. But we are looking to grow that over the course of 2011. And our ultimate, I think we'll get up to about four chemists that will support this facility.
Okay. And in terms of product testing, how do you handle – now, you talked about stability testing, but how would someone have to handle safety testing, for example, or claims testing?
Well, with regards to claims testing, it depends on what the customer is trying to do. So basically what we advise the client to do is to have a third party review their claims and just to make sure that they're meeting the standards of FTC. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the claims are coming from the ingredient manufacturers, and you just have to be careful not to overstep what they're really trying to say, where you cross the line between a cosmetic product and an over-the-counter product. And we can help with that, but we always have a third party look at it. We don't just try to make those decisions internally. Other testing, like after a production, microbial testing, where we're looking for a pathogen present in the formula or in the product, we outsource that as well. A lot of contract manufacturers do that in-house. We'd like the third party validation of having another person who does not have a financial interest in the product whatsoever taking a look at it and signing off that yes, it's pathogen free, you know, mm-hmm. no bacterial growth, no spore growth or anything along those lines.
Now, we have an international audience, so I'm wondering, your business is primarily focused in the United States and really just on the East Coast there, but do you take clients from all over?
Well, interestingly, we've had some great conversation with some clients from Italy. They have some great ideas for some hair products that we're pursuing with them. Dealing with the European Union is a little different. There's some different testing protocols that have to be taken care of, but we do have the ability to create the paperwork for that and get it done correctly. And there's been a lot of interest from India as well, so the Pacific Rim Asian area. And so we're pursuing a project with that right now. So we absolutely will accept projects from all over the world. In fact, we invite them because it's a great way for us to learn about different cultures and what their needs are.
It really is amazing how small the world is getting, and probably the internet is doing that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It makes it easy to develop a relationship with somebody that 10 years ago would have been impossible.
Do you have any unique products that you've seen that your company can has produced?
Well, talking about OTC, we're in the process of working on a very interesting sunscreen right now. I just can't tell you all the details about it, but it's a very clever, it's a pretty very clever formula and a very clever idea that solves some issues with sunscreen, particularly for sportsmen. It's a product based primarily for men. It's focused primarily on men. We're doing some work with some doctors. These aren't OTC products. They are just regular cosmetics, but they found needs in their practices they couldn't find off the shelf, which have been pretty interesting. Skincare, some very interesting skincare products. Men's skincare products are really huge and very popular right now. So it's a lot of fun. A lot of interesting organics, although fully organic leads to some problems sometimes, or true organic product. And so we're finding folks that want to put organic ingredients in there. Mm-hmm. I think some of the claims that are made on products with organic ingredients in there, not from anything we're making, but stuff you see on the shelves, have extremely misleading labels on them. But I think that's just part of this industry and some of the exuberance that comes from marketing products. But we're doing some interesting things. Yeah. And a lot of multi-phase stuff too, which are, you know, 4 and 5 phase type of stuff, which is fairly complex when it gets into production.
Yeah. And you guys have no problem producing things like that?
We always have problems producing like that. It's just when you get that many phases, that many steps have to be done to a certain temperatures, it gets a little tough.
Yeah.
So, but it's doable. It's very doable. And we have actually a very interesting way of managing heat in our production. Unlike people who are using steam and whatnot, which can be a little hard to control sometimes for heat, we've done it through hydronics. We've kind of developed our own systems, which we can get right down to the centigrade where we need to be consistently, which is very, very cool for duplicating a lab result in the manufacturing environment.
Well, interesting. I wanted to talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial activities in the context that there are some cosmetic chemists out there who might want to be entrepreneurs or start their own line. How do you take an idea and turn it into a company?
that's going to be a very long-winded question. Let's see how we can answer that. First of all, I'm an extraordinary risk taker. And so I have a makeup where I have a high tolerance for ambiguity and a high tolerance for being able to see two sides of a situation but still be able to function and actually have diametrically opposed opinions in my head and still be able to move forward. So a startup company, I think the best advice I can give, so I've started about a dozen companies. The best advice I can give to anybody wanting to start up anything is don't start a company thinking that it's just a small version of a large organization. It absolutely is not. A startup is nothing more than an experiment to find a viable business model. And if you take it from that approach, then you don't get freaked out if some assumption that you had early on in the life cycle of your business does not pan out. You make yourself very flexible in order to kind of follow the path that is placed before you. And it's never the path you think it's going to be.
Right.
So I guess the main thing is just have the ability to listen to your clients. And if we're going back to my very first business, which was completely unrelated to cosmetic chemistry, I went out to sell one thing and ended up with an order for something else and didn't get freaked out about it. Mm-hmm. So even though you have an idea for a product, just be willing to listen to your marketplace and tweak accordingly. Which is the great thing about working with small minimums, because you're not stuck with 10,000 units of something in a warehouse somewhere that you now regret having because you found a better option than what you had when you first started.
And if somebody wants to get in contact with you, Mark, how might they do that?
Oh, the best way would be to go to our website. That's www.alluralab.com. That's ALLURALAB.com. They can find me on... or us on Twitter at AlluraLab. That's our Twitter handle. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/AlluraLab. We're on LinkedIn. We are just about anywhere. Just type in AlluraLab or Mark W. Richards and you'll be easy to find us. And if you go to our website, our email addresses are right on there for both myself, our technical director, Mark Fuller, the chemist, and Tracy Ray, our VP of Sales and Marketing. And we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a question about where we could help out with something, you know.
Great.
That's fine. We don't have to make money on everything we do.
Great. Well, thanks for coming to the program, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Perry. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, that's all we have for the show today. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter or follow our Facebook page. We always like to get likes on Facebook page. And, of course, follow the blog. You can subscribe it using an RSS feed. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us in the on the blog at the Contact Us page. Or you can send emails directly to us. So that's all we have today. And, as always, go make a difference.